Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are continuing in Matthew, and we're moving pretty quickly through a lot of verses, but we're discovering who Jesus' real friends and enemies were, and still are today.
And it's all in the context of the Kingdom book, Finding Your True Self, which we haven't released yet, but we're kind of working our way through it. So it's a study on Matthew and an understanding of the Kingdom, because as you've heard us say before, it's King first, that Kingdom seed that's planted is next, because that's the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then third comes the Church. And whatever age you live in, that's the that's kind of the, just the way God has laid things out. So if we make those things backwards and it becomes a focus on the Church, and it's not that the Church isn't important, it's just that the King is the reason.
And the people get an awful lot of attention instead of the King.
Absolutely. So we've been talking about all of the different Kingdom parables. And if you remember last time, we ended with the Kingdom of Heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things old and new. And you know, that's the reward for Kingdom listening and processing. If we've observed his Kingdom parable teachings, and that's a scribe, mm-hmm. and determined to become a disciple, which is a growing follower, we're becoming heads of households, bringing out treasures both old and new. And one of the things I love about my commitment to the Scriptures and what I've learned from the Scriptures is that there are old treasures and there are new treasures. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Old and New Testament. There are deep things that are as old as before the fabric of time. And then there are the new things that God has built upon that. And I'm right in the middle of it. Uh-huh. And that excites me.
Yep. So continuing in Matthew 13, this is the part where it's a prophet without honor. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. And coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. I mean, isn't he just the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith or because of their unbelief.
Yeah, I can see the newspaper headline now that week. Hometown boy fails to win over hearts of community. Yeah. Faith shortage hampers efforts. You know, not everyone can receive the truth of the parables or the Kingdom. Now, thank God that you and I have been given the heart to overcome all too common unbelief. To understand the Kingdom of a satisfied mind, we must decide how we feel about Jesus' parables. No king, no kingdom. No kingdom, no life. And the Kingdom alternative is much more satisfying.
Mm-hmm. So now we're moving on to trying to figure out who are Jesus's friends and enemies, who are friends and enemies of the Kingdom, and where do we fit into that?
Well, the Sea of Galilee is like a huge dish. It was really fun to see. 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. It's known for its beauty and also its rapid volatility regarding weather changes. Mm-hmm. And so we call this section Fear and Faith, because his friends and enemies are beginning to distinguish themselves, show mm-hmm. themselves for who they really are. And this is a very animating situation.
It is. Here. So speaking of the Sea of Galilee, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd that he had just fed, the crowd of 5,000. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, so between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear.
Well, you can imagine just how scary that would be. And these fishermen were used to being on the water, but they were already afraid of the storm. Mm-hmm. And then you got the whole issue of ghosts walking on the water.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I'm just curious about all this. I don't know what difference it makes, except when did the guy sleep? When did Jesus sleep? You know, he sends everybody off. He goes up to the mountain to pray. He knows the disciples are out there going through all that. And this is between 3 and 6, so when did he sleep? I know it's not really kind of important, but then I also wonder, did he really draw spiritual and physical strength from prayer?
Well, you know, it's interesting because he made the statement, I have food that you don't know about. And he also understood the concept of living water. So it really makes you wonder, you know, what part did sleep play in his heart, because he was a human being, obviously, but, you know, how was it different from what we experience?
Well, he must have really been able to draw on something. So I guess my ultimate question is that something I can do too when I'm really tired? Is there a way that I can draw upon that same thing that Jesus did,
so,
I assume.
Here they are in the middle of this sea crossing, fear, wonder, exhilaration, instruction. And this is only one day hundreds of days of his 4-year public ministry. So these guys really saw lots of stuff. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water, because he still wasn't sure about the whole ghost thing.
Right.
And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. So he got, I mean, it wasn't like the wind wasn't there, but it's a little bit different when you're inside of a boat and then when you're actually out walking on waves, I understand. I never experienced it. So
tell me how you understand
but
this.
But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me.
I tell you, this feels like my life sometimes. You know, I can head a direction. I can be sure that God told me to go there. And then when things get tough, I second guess myself. Like, did I make a mistake? Did I not really hear God? Am I living disobediently? I mean, I can totally relate to what Peter's going through here, except I'm not really out on the water like that. That would have been cool.
Well, and it would have been nice if he would have just said, hey, Pete, it's going to be okay. But he... he didn't. You know, Peter says, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he took hold of him and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, and I love this, they got into the boat and the wind stopped. The very wind that they were afraid of, that he was sinking in the middle of the water. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Mm-hmm. And you can see why they came to that conclusion and why it was so motivating to them from a spiritual perspective. I think as you watch the disciples make the crossover from watching the signs, observing the signs, and then becoming true faith followers themselves, it's just really cool because it's so reflective of what happens with us personally.
Mm-hmm. So after that, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. I think I said that right. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed or were cured.
Well, this is going to lead up now to another heartless encounter with the heartless religious leaders, because you know, they're looking at all this and they're starting to realize that their influence is starting to slip away. And you can imagine, here you've got a rabbi that people just want to touch the fringe of their garments, something that they dreamed of happening. You know, they kind of had set up the whole religious system to make sure that the fringes of their garments were very special. And here you got the Son of God kind of goofing up the whole situation.
Do you want me to keep going on?
Well, Peter's exhilaration at walking on the water, which is a spiritual high, was eclipsed by that of sinking into stormy seas, a spiritual low. And now back in the boat, Jesus stills the turbulence all around them. It's no wonder that those in the boat conclude that they are traveling with the Son of God. Who else could it be? For how else can this be explained? And, you know, I ask myself the question, I'm asking myself, do I experience faith? Do you ever feel that your faith is being tested? What about the storms? What about the water walking challenges? That feeling of being out on thin ice because God has sent you there, and then there you are, and all you have to hope is to be clothed in God's power and his presence. Yeah.
Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God? for the sake of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition.
Now, let me read this next chapter, mm-hmm. or these next couple of paragraphs, because I've got hypocrites.
You've got the man voice.
I've got the hypocrites highlighted in my version, in my book. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah the prophecy of you, Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, this is a very penetrating statement mm-hmm. that he's making to these guys. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man. So the rules of men are brought up to the level of God's truth. Mm-hmm. And after Jesus called the crowd to him, he said, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man. So he's really whacking these guys on all of their rules, because they had plenty of rules. And he's saying, it's not what goes in that defiles the man, but it's what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man.
They really, really love their traditions. And I think it's tough for me to have my traditions challenged, right down to that maybe my traditions are just habits and preferences, but I like to turn them into being right or wrong for me and for everybody else.
Well, Jesus talks later about straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, and this is the specialty of the Jewish leaders. They were so concerned with the outside that they were willing to let the inside crumble. And this is the opposite of kingdom thinking. Jesus makes it clear that if we pay attention to the inside, our hearts, then everything else is going to fall into place.
Mm-hmm. So then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Like, surprised. He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Peter said, explain this parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth, that comes from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person. Not eating with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile them.
Well, it was so amazing how the scribes and the Pharisees could catch all the outside stuff and add to it and totally miss the heart. And this is one of my big bones of contention with religion, because, you know, it really is all about a change of heart, because that's the nature of the kingdom. And when the kingdom seed is planted in our hearts, then we're set free in ways that you're never going to find a satisfied mind through keeping anybody's religion, whether it's the Jews or Christianity or any of the other religions of the world.
We have to have time for this last part. It's when Peter declares what he declares. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, well, some say it's John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Pretty cool. The kingdom is all about seeds and soils and sowing. It's like a small mustard seed which shelters and leaven which energizes. It's also like the hidden treasure of surpassing worth. It's a hope of uncovered, surprising treasure. It's a pinnacle of value, like an amazing pearl. What a great bunch of what a great bunch of parables
and
pictures.
We blew through them, but it is so worth just going back to Matthew 13 through 16.
ForceStream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to ForceStream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at ForceStream.com.